You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We are joined, as always, with our super producer, Paul Mission Control Deccant. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. And that makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. Now, peek behind the curtain. I think we're going to call this episode either Wealthy People versus Taxes or the Wealth Defense Industry. There's a good reason for it. If you live in the United States, odds are, by hook or by crook, you just got through tax season. You might have owed a little bit of scratch. You might have owed a lot. You might have received a refund, which is always fun. You may, like many people, have filed an extension. Or, like other people, you might have had just a lot going on in life and you let the deadline slip by, calling it a problem for another day. But regardless of how your personal situation worked out, one thing's for sure, if you're the majority of people living in the country today, you believe the tax system is broken. In fact, a very recent poll just indicated that about 57% of adults in the U.S. believe they personally, as individuals, are taxed at an unfairly high rate. And that belief, oddly enough, goes across every single imagined demographic. Anything, you look at any group of people, no matter how you slice the population, more than half of them are saying this is malarkey, to quote President Biden. And if you ask those same folks, about 6 out of 10 of them will tell you that the wealthy in this country very rarely pay their fair share. So what gives? Today's question, is there a conspiracy afoot? Well, to answer that, we have to start at the beginning. Here are the facts. We think about doing this episode every time we have to pay taxes, right? Is it all three of us?
Oh, yeah. And it just seems like the more you dig into the numbers and how much is being taken out of your check and compare that to the perceived value you get out of paying taxes, it starts to get more and more frustrating. I think I've kind of harangued about this on the podcast before. Like, I don't know where my tax money goes or what it does for me or my family personally. We still have to pay healthcare costs out of our pocket. We still have to pay for all kinds of insurance and extra things. And I just don't really understand what the tax system does for me.
Yes. And we've talked on this show many times specifically about how for us and for many of you, we feel the very same way. What the heck is going on here? Why do I have to pay so much? And then why do I read stories sometimes about companies and extremely wealthy people somehow getting to play by an entirely different set of rules when it comes to what the government takes off the top, the cream that they get off the top of the stuff we make?
Yeah, like the majority of U.S. residents, folks, we on this show have always sort of assumed very, very wealthy entities function by a different set of legal constraints, and they do so to avoid ponying up what could be called their fair share. To understand whether that's true, we have to understand some basics. First, hating taxes is straight up patriotic in this country. It is a huge part of U.S. history. Think about it this way. Protests against taxes in the 1760s led to the American Revolution. The U.S. is literally founded on the idea of hating paying taxes. In that case, yes, it was taxation without representation, but the point stands. And taxes play a huge, huge role today as they did in the past. It is currently the primary official source of funding for the U.S. government. That's what people mean when they say your tax dollars at work. And you know, when everything runs as it should, we know there's a hot button issue, so we want to be as objective as possible. When everything runs as it should, in theory, we can think of the United States or any country as kind of a club. And just like any club, you pay your membership dues, right? Those dues are part of what makes you a member of this club. And again, in theory, you get a quid pro quo. You get benefits for that. The rule of law, a safe place to conduct business and raise your kids. You get infrastructure like trash collection, water service, so on and so on and so on. But the problem is people have said this system is broken since, I mean, honestly, before the U.S. became a thing. Right now, not even on the internet. Right now, amid your own friends and family networks, you're going to find a lot of people who disagree. You'll see no shortage of people saying we need higher taxes on certain things. Like maybe we need higher taxes that wealthy people actually pay, which we'll get into, or we need higher morality taxes, right? Like alcohol or cigarettes or whatever recreational vice should cost more. But then you also see a lot of people, many people, who will say, you know what? Taxes should just be a flat percentage. Doesn't matter who you are. We're all in this together. It's too confusing. Or you'll even hear people who say, these are often a little more on the libertarian side, will say something like some forms of taxes should be eliminated altogether. No more inheritance tax. The people who don't want an inheritance tax, by the way, call it a death tax. But that's simply a PR move. You know what I mean? They're describing the same thing in a way that is intended to manipulate the audience. Still, got to pay it, right? What's the old Ben Franklin quote? Nothing certain but death and taxes. I can't remember if he actually said that. Anyhow.
Yeah, there's another good quote that says taxation is theft. Is that Emma Goldberg, I think? Yeah, that's a good one. It starts to feel that way the more you look at it.
Just to go back to your point, Ben, the quid pro quo thing that we do as Americans, as citizens, as people who live in a certain state or municipality or local area, we do see some benefits, right, from the taxes that we pay. But when you think about something like water filtration and treatment systems and things like that, we all still pay our local municipality or the county we live in for water services every month. All of us do that, no matter who you are. And there's still things like that where if there's going to be a road or a specific highway or repairs or things like that, generally there are extra like sales tax, like an extra percentage gets added on to sales tax in a local area to pay for certain projects. So it always just feels like the actual income taxes that we pay don't go to the things we think they should, or maybe that we've been told they would at some point in our lives.
Right. And there's an argument here that we can make via analogy. So supporters of this system, as imperfect as it is, would say that many of the things funded through taxation are things that the American population takes for granted because they've collectively grown up in countries where you don't have to worry about stuff like this. You don't necessarily have to worry, by and large, about clean water. Again, in theory, right? The analogy you can make is the function of the human brain. Human beings take their brains for granted. That's why people still believe that factoid, that untrue thing that sounds true about humans using only 10% of your brain. You're using 100%. It's doing a lot of stuff that you don't appreciate, like making sure you don't have to consciously try to produce a heartbeat at a stable rhythm. Your brain's taking care of that in the background. Treat it better. You know, take it out on the town once in a while. Not a recommendation for DMT just yet, but it is so very true. You know, people pay taxes not, for the most part, not out of some sense of civic pride nor of patriotism, but to avoid punishment. If you fail to pay your taxes, you will run into legal trouble. Again, in theory, if you're most people, we're talking stuff like penalties for late payment, even wage garnishments. It can get nasty pretty quickly. And that's why there's so much money involved, because a lot of people don't want to get in trouble. Just in 2019, people paid $1.6 trillion in this country in individual income taxes. This powers the engine of government. And whoo boy, people are pissed about it. Honestly, some issues are pretty practical. Like what you were saying earlier, you have to pay, but you can't dictate how Uncle Sam spends your money. If, for instance, you are a person who has strong religious convictions, you can't say, I will pay this money, but you have to do things that are in line with my personal spiritual beliefs. You can't object to a war while you're paying taxes. You can't say, here's my stuff, but not one penny farthing of it can go to that proxy war in Syria. And you can't say, like, you can't specify stuff they have to do, right? You can't say, I'm paying this, but all of it needs to be spent on that pothole by my cousin's place.
Yeah. But you can donate a significant amount of your income to a religious organization and avoid taxes, at least some taxes, that way.
That's true. Yeah. Or any number of charities. Or if you'll see when you pay your income taxes in this country, you'll have options to donate to several things, right? They're baked into the form. Like, you can give money to the generic federal fund for campaigns, for presidential campaigns. I don't know how many people do that. I haven't looked into the numbers, but I imagine they're freely available. And
there are a dozen people approximately.
And it's such terrible timing, right? It's like at the very end where you've been through this sometimes harrowing look at your finances. And like, also, by the way, do you feel like giving more money to someone? Oh, and this doesn't just go to the candidate you might like. This goes to both of them, right?
Which theoretically is a great thing. If we all just paid that and there weren't CPACs, maybe we'd be in a better place. Who knows? I don't know.
Really quickly, that quote that I mentioned earlier, taxation is theft. The whole thing is taxation is theft purely and simply, even though it is theft on a grand and colossal scale, which no acknowledged criminals could hope to match. It is a compulsory seizure of the property of the state's inhabitants or subjects. And it wasn't Emma Goldberg. It was Murray N. Rothbard, who is a economist from the Austrian school. And I think that's pretty interesting perspective.
Yeah. And the full Franklin quote is, our new constitution is now established. Everything seems to promise it will be durable, but in this world, nothing is certain except death and taxes. And death might not be certain in the near to mid future.
For the people who don't pay taxes.
For the people who don't have to pay tax. That's the way to get around the quote unquote death tax. I don't know. Yeah, of course, it's a hot button issue and there's a lot of psychology in it. Every human being you meet is going to be highly sensitive to perceived equality. Happiness in many people's personal lives is not an absolute self-contained thing. It is relative. People don't want to just be doing well. They want to be doing better than other people they know. For many people, happiness depends on thinking, other people are doing worse, which is so messed up, but it's true. And a lot of, that's why a lot of spiritual schools of thought work assiduously to get past those roadblocks. But when you think of taxation, you're thinking, well, I have my own life. I already have so many expenses, especially when inflation is climbing, everything costs more than it used to. I want my kids to have a decent future. How come I am subsidizing other people who don't pull their weight? That's another belief that you'll find in a significant minority of the U.S. public. They think that they are being forced to support people instead of those people being responsible for their own mistakes. That's a huge oversimplification, and there are a lot of different ways to look at it, but we're walking through really quickly the problems people have with taxation in this country, regardless of their ideology and without even getting to the wealthy. Everybody knows there are tons of loopholes, credits, deductions, other exceptions that come into play. And we can say the system is definitely rigged in a couple of ways that are provable. It's so complicated. It's intensely confusing. That is provably, at least in part, by design. Private companies profit off the confusion. They have lobbied to make taxation seem time-consuming and difficult for the average person to do on their own. We're talking about all the software programs that that IRS.gov leads you to on a Google search that are not part of IRS.gov. They're companies that are making money off of you, mistaking them for that.
Making great money off of you. Not long ago, we were owned by a holding company that also owned Tax Act. Was that the one?
I think so, yeah.
And look, we've got a little bit of insider, you know, info here, at least perspective on how important that business became for the larger company that once owned us as when tax season came around, and then it just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And it was a huge profit center for the larger company that we once were owned by.
Yeah, those were weird days, man. Weird days. A lot of the top cats were in a great mood around April, right after April. It was funny because that was the time to ask them for crazy stuff that they usually wouldn't put in the budget. It was so close to getting a fake astronaut costume. Caught that guy in a good day. Anyway, yeah, it's some of these companies are getting in trouble. Illustrative of this fact, the parent company of TurboTax is a gigantic fintech financial technology company called Intuit, and they were very recently ordered to pay a $141 million fine for misleading people who weren't wealthy enough to hire a tax person or wealthy enough to have a family office. And those people would end up paying for services that are technically free. And because no one went to jail, because their punishment was a fine, as we said in the past, if a crime results in a fine, that means it's a cost of doing business, ultimately.
Totally.
The only way to look at it.
Man, I just used a service to pay my taxes, one of these like that. And it's just crazy. Like I paid the minimum of what you can pay to have your taxes filed through one of those. And it was still like 50, 100, I think it was $100 altogether to file my taxes, which I could do right now by printing out a couple pieces of paper and filling it out and sending it in.
You totally could, but it's like if you make one little mistake or tick the wrong box, something like that, come back to haunt you. I think it's like we live in a constant state of fear and anxiety about bureaucracy and about just feeling like we don't actually understand any of it. Therefore, we should just leave it to the professionals, right? But like to pay a human being to do it or a tax prep service where you actually sit down and they go through and itemize your stuff for you, that's even more expensive. That can be up to like $300 to $500. They certainly can save you money, but even the notion that you need someone to help you find loopholes to save you money is a little weird in and of itself, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. And it's a big part of this because the idea is, well, if I'm paying someone a couple of hundred to save me several thousand, how is that not a no-brainer? That's at that point, that's a very quick investment. It's a very smart one. And it's something that people often do. Everybody does it if they have the means and the time. Currently,
but you got to hit that bracket first, right? You have to make enough money or have enough money to get to that level. So, and that's what we're going to see throughout this episode. You have to have enough money to get here and then to get there and then to get there. And somehow your taxes get reduced every time you make more money.
Somehow. Yeah. Yeah. Because there's a donut hole, too, that a lot of people in the audience find themselves in today. Currently, the U.S. has 7 federal income tax brackets. Your income at the state level or community level, that taxation is going to differ wherever you go. It's just a mess of spaghetti. It's a huge bag of badgers. These brackets are based on a number of factors, one of the primary ones being income. Income from work, foreshadowing. And you can look at any number of websites that will give you a quick group of grids or visual depictions to help you estimate where you would be. I like to recommend smartasset.com because the name is funny. That's literally the only calculus there. It's just the one that had a pun. So you're that person. You're this average person. And you say, okay, that's what I have to pay. Now you're looking at Smart Asset or something like that. And you say, well, how much do wealthy people pay? This is where we go to the stories you mentioned, Matt. Cyclically, predictably, these stories come out around tax season saying they're excoriating the well-to-do, individuals and corporations. They're saying, you know, Apple is doing something sketchy in Ireland to get away from paying taxes, or insert billionaire here is screwing over the American public. But these stories don't all come from, you know, nothing. They don't come from like muckraking journalists or disinfo agents. A lot of times the specific stuff these folks are reporting on is true. And sometimes it comes straight from the proverbial horse's mouth. Warren Buffett, on multiple occasions, one of the richest guys in the country, has pointed out that he personally thinks it's weird that he pays a lower tax rate than his own secretary, who, spoiler alert, does okay, but doesn't make Warren Buffett money. Nowhere near that. And it's like the Department of Treasury even says that. They say that in 2021, just last year, wealthy people were dodging at least $163 billion worth of income taxes every single year.
Yeah, on the Warren Buffett thing, we're going to talk about this after a break from our sponsor in just a moment. But one of the main reasons his tax rate is that way is he's a billionaire, hundreds of billions of dollars. But the dude's income, actual income, as would be associated with that term, is actually relatively low, guys.
Yeah, we'll get to it. So this is the question. Is this true? Is the game rigged? And if so, is it rigged in a criminal way? Do the top 1%, so-called, actually pay taxes? We're going to pause for a word from our sponsor, and then we'll dive in, just like Uncle Scrooge dives into that vault filled with coins.
I like it when he spits the coins. That's fun.
Yes, but ours is filled with capital gains. Sorry.
And you can't dive into a pool of coins. You will break yourself. So don't try it at home.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today. Health Aid kombucha.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Here's where it gets crazy. Okay, well, the 1% don't pay taxes the way that you do. Not really. Not the same way an ordinary person would. And in another way, you could say they do. It's a financial pickle. You know, it's a paradoxical statement at times. What you have to understand from the jump is that very, very wealthy people look at money in a very different way. To many of the very wealthy people in the world today, money is a tool simply used to generate more wealth. As such, you want to maximize the effectiveness of that tool. You know what I mean? Keep it in good working order. And anything that goes against the effectiveness of your pre-existing wealth or value or money is therefore anathema to your position. In most cases, there are cases of people who feel ideologically compelled to spend their money making the world a better place instead of making themselves more money. But unfortunately, they're kind of rare. You know, they're like the lobsters that are half blue and half red. They exist, but it's sort of big news when you find one. So anyhow, here's the pickle.
They're crazy to look at with 3D glasses.
They're amazing to look at with 3D glasses. Nice billionaires and those two-tone lobsters. But here's the thing, Matt, you foreshadowed it beautifully. In this country, taxation looks at a few things in a very different light. Income from work. You know, if you have a job or a career that generates hourly wages, you have a fixed salary, you have like a commission rate, stuff like that, that is taxed differently than income from wealth. And the vast majority, virtually all of the top 1% or 0.1% people that you hear talked about in the news, virtually all of their money comes from wealth, not their actual job, if they have one. Their income is from assets, stock holdings, property, fine art, moving across the world in free ports or other investments. And so what that means, like, you, let's say you own like $250 million worth of some very cool stock, Dave and Buster's, whatever. The stock goes up. The value of the pieces in your art collection get more expensive because somebody in Vanity Fair or Paris Review wrote a cool think piece about Basquiat or what have you. The real estate market shifts in your favor. Then that means your wealth increases too. And you didn't really do anything except maybe ask the editor of Paris Review to greenlight that Basquiat piece in exchange for a donation to, you know, a foundation that you're both on the board of, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, and it's weird to think about because that wealth, while on paper, is, you know, amazing and it's huge. And so, oh my God, I'm so rich. Look at my wealth. That money sits in places like stocks and bonds and other things that aren't tangible. You can't actually pay for anything with those. But our system is built to where you can sell off, let's say, a small amount of stock or even a hefty amount of stock that doesn't fully reduce that wealth bubble you've generated, but gives you enough liquid income, actual cash to function on, you'd think, well, okay, that money that comes through, that would be treated the same way as income. But no, in our country, that's treated in a completely different way. And that is pretty baffling to me, just that fact alone.
It's a convenient law you know, or it's a convenient policy and process that certainly benefits the very well-to-do. This person we want to introduce, Chieqing Huang, who is the executive director of the Tax Law Center over at the NYU School of Law. And Huang points out that income is only subject to taxation if these people who own these assets sell the asset. On the way out, it can get taxed. And this can mean that people who are of high net worth can choose when or whether they pay taxes on the growth of their wealth. And if you look at specific examples, it gets even weirder. That 37%, that highest tax rate, all right, right now, that applies to individuals who are making a little more than $500,000 a year, and for married couples making a little more than $620,000 a year. If you want to avoid the tax rate in that income bracket, here's an easy move for you. Just give yourself a crappy salary. It works every time. You know what I mean? Also, it looks really good if your PR folks are on the ball. They'll be like, this CEO refuses to take more than a dollar in salary until they get those stock prices back up and until employee demands are met. Just $1. Yeah. How does he do it? What a hero.
Well, it's why you'll commonly see in the Fortune 500 companies, CEOs who make about $400,000 a year on paper. And then the rest of their income is all in stock options. And that's why we recently on this show talked about the trend of paying CEOs in stock options and why that's become such a big deal and why they make so much ungodly amounts of money in stock options, but specifically in that way.
Well, so that means that they're paying less income tax on their salary, but they're still paying capital gains taxes, right?
If they sell their stock.
If they sell their stock. So it's like, you know, when Elon Musk, you know, just bought or, you know, collected the financing to buy Twitter, he was not liquid in nearly, you know, $40 billion. So he had to get loans that he leveraged against his holding without actually having to liquidate, which is another superpower of the ultra rich.
Right, which we'll get to in just a moment. To stay on the salary thing here, Bezos, Jeff Bezos, you know him, he collected something like 79 to 80 grand in salary as a CEO of Amazon. That was on purpose. That's not making or breaking his bank. His light bill is going to be fine. And then we see a laundry list, a cavalcade of corporate Goliaths. People like Steve Jobs, people like Meg Whitman from Hewlett-Packard, the co-founders of Google, Sergey and Larry, and of course, Mark Zuckerberg. They have all at some point taken a salary of literally $1 per year because this is a smart, rational move from their perspective, and it works, and it's also not illegal yet. Right. There are people usually on the left of the political bell curve who try to adjust this, like Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders in 2020. They both had their wealth tax proposals, which very simply says we want to find a way to make it such that income from wealth or assets is taken into account kind of the same way income from work is taken into account. But wealth and income, two very different things. One great example, let's say you're a new hotshot surgeon. You're very good. You come out of your residency and you are making instantly $400,000 a year, since we brought that number up earlier. But you are a self-made person. You don't have generational wealth hidden, and you have like $500,000 in student loans. It's going to take a while for your wealth to, like, for your income to transform into wealth, even if you're savvy with investments and whatnot. So there's a huge difference. And a lot of people who become very, very wealthy, who become billionaires, they are profiting from the work one of their ancestors did. That's not a ding on them at all. It's not saying they're bad people. That's just saying this is how the system works. It creates positive feedback loops. And that's why these wealth plans, you know, America, the land of temporarily embarrassed millionaires. That's why these wealth tax plans lead to so much controversy, because people say, well, what about when I become a billionaire, right? What about when I become a multimillionaire? Why am I going to have this crab in the bucket mentality of punishing people, as it were, for success? And then these proposals usually fade from the spotlight. Because I'm going to be honest, talking about taxes bores the shit out of the average person. It really does. And that is awesome for the folks at the top, because they can continue making a killing off loopholes, financial accounting, parkour. They want you to be bored. Many of them don't particularly want things to change. Spoiler alert, why would they? Like, why?
No, I can't think of anything.
If you knew that the local community in your area was terrified of eclipses and felt like they had to leave a pile of precious gems near the mouth of this cave to stop an eclipse, and you knew that the eclipse would just end regardless, but you were the one who gathered up the gems at the end, like, and right before the eclipse ended, why would you stop people?
Nope. Again, got nothing.
But, you know, you're always going to have people that argue that the system as is shouldn't be changed, that it's doing exactly what it needs to be doing, that assets already get taxed, and possibly they conjecture at an unfair rate, potentially. Then you have folks on the other side, you'll see, arguing that wealth can be transformed into spending money without any fear of losing it to taxation. So, if income from wealth acts differently and is taxed differently than income from work, how is it used to purchase something? Like I was talking about a minute ago, how does this asset, this non-liquid asset, translate into spendable money? And like we were getting to a minute ago, it is about leverage. That is the superpower of the ultra rich. They have all this stuff that exists that's worth something, and some of it can appreciate, some of it can depreciate over time. And you can take a tax break from depreciation of assets. But at the end of the day, it's worth something, and you don't have to sell it to borrow against it. You always hear about people like Donald Trump, for example, being over leveraged. That is when you borrow too much against your assets. And the fact is, banks will let you do that to a certain degree.
Well, there's a whole other thing there of once the bank has lent you a certain amount of money, even if you're failing, they will continue to lend you money, hoping that their money just doesn't go away and you declare bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. And maybe this person that we've given all this money to will actually do something profitable and pay us back at least some.
Right. Shout out Deutsche Bank. Yeah. It's like, yeah. There's another great pithy observation here. I can't remember the original source, but it goes something like, if you owe the bank $100,000, that's your problem. If you owe the bank $500 million, it's the bank's problem. You know, and like, unfortunately, that's true, because they also have their own thresholds at which they will be stretched too thin or over leveraged. But if you are a billionaire, you are much easier to loan money to. Of course, people like Larry Ellison can open a $9.7 billion credit line in 2014 based on his stock shares. You can do, like, you have the assets to bring to bear. Elon Musk used Tesla stock, got a loan for $550 million. Most people can't do that. And because this borrowed money, this is the clever thing, this is the infomercial part. But wait, there's more. Because this borrowed money doesn't count as income, that money is also not taxable. It is objectively a good grift. The biggest drawback is that it's not a grift most people can afford. You know, you can't take out huge loans. You are nowhere near as safe a risk as someone with millions or billions of dollars worth of wealth. Your credit score doesn't matter at that point.
But even like being, I don't know, like middle class wealthy, like owning a nice house, like in an up and coming area, you could leverage that into buying another house and turning it into a rental property. Then sort of the cycle goes from there. Then you have two assets that are not liquid, but they just give you more, like borrowing more allows you to borrow more. It's just weird, but it also weirdly makes sense. Like I've got a friend who got into the property game, just like buying, he bought one home, then leveraged that into buying another one, then bought several other rental properties on foreclosure and things. And now he owns like seven properties and has, you know, property management companies that take care of all the rent and everything. And they're constantly generating passive income. But you couldn't do that, A, if you had really bad credit, and B, if you didn't have any assets. It's impossible. And he also is a good landlord in that he charges below market value for rent. So he's like one of the good ones. You know what I mean? So it's like you can be part of, you know, helping solve problems in a situation if you have money. But many super wealthy people do not look at it that way. And they look at it entirely as how can they benefit themselves and further embiggen their fortunes.
We're talking about motivations, right? Motivations are a hard thing to know, but we can look at the logic of it. One, of course, people who are wealthy want to have a good lifestyle, what they consider a good lifestyle, using us as small amount of those liquid assets as possible. And then secondly, this is interesting. There's that desire to use wealth productively to create more wealth. A few million less might not seem substantial, right? If you're looking at it from the outside, but if you know that you have the access to create those positive feedback loops, then in your mind, you're not losing a few mil, you're losing 10 times or 100 times that amount that it could have become if it were properly invested. And then there's, you know, there's the other idea about taxes on assets. People want to avoid that. We don't have to get into that today. The truth of the matter is easily understandable. If 98% of your stuff is in assets, you don't want it to be taxed. That just makes sense. Don't get me, says this individual. There are other ways to fix the system.
Guys, I just had to add one thing in here that we just haven't mentioned yet. We kind of talked around it a bit, but this concept of if someone makes, let's use those tax brackets before. If someone individual makes $650,000 in income, we know in the United States, they're going to get taxed for federal taxes 37%. But if some individual sells off $650,000 worth of, let's say, Amazon stock, the tax rate is under 20%, right around 20%. So two individuals who are have the same amount of money coming into them that they can effectively use to make purchases. If one is from wealth, from selling off assets that they own, they're going to get taxed 17% less than the person who actually made that much money by working. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Well, we should also point out that because those are progressive marginal tax rates, I believe the way it goes now is that 37% kicks in on income above $400,000. So it's not like the whole $600,000 is taxed at 37%.
Oh, sure. Got it.
That's a great example. And there are people who will argue that capital gains tax is already too high. There are people who feel like they're paying multiple times on it. And you can freely read these dialogues or these perspectives. Just know that yet again, everybody knows the system is broken in some way. It's like all these factors we've named, they are clear problems with the system. But in short, wealth is like fire, okay? It's like fire in that wealth wants to generate more wealth. And it will do so with no limits so long as the conditions are right, just the same way that a small campfire turns into a wildfire in the right environment out west. So this means we need to talk about conditions. And this is where we run into the real conspiracies at play. We'll be back with more after a word from our sponsors.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
All right, we've returned. The problem goes deeper than the idea of handling assets or the idea of paying oneself in a less easily taxable way. You see, people with high net worth also leverage their resources and their influence to maintain or exacerbate those conditions that allow their wealth to spread into an inferno. They do this by hiring high-end financial specialists. This is not what you're thinking about if you're thinking about your CPA pal that you talked to, you know, in April or whatever. They are hitmen, hit folk. They're mercenaries. And they're very, very good at what they do. Those folks alone make millions of dollars a year. You'll see why in a second. The high net worth folks also spend a lot of time making strategic donations to politicians. Get this. On both sides of the aisle, you know, depending which way the monetary wind is blowing. And then they also invest heavily in policies or action groups that keep and maintain those conditions. We've got to introduce an author named Chuck Collins, who wrote a book called The Wealth Hoarders. And he talks about how this industry goes far, far past what we could describe as a broken tax system. Collins is a really interesting case. He was openly born into a lot of money. He inherited part of the Oscar Mayer fortune. He gave away almost all of it, switched sides, and started trying to figure this stuff out. So his perspective is really interesting. He has popularized the term wealth defense industry.
That sounds, I don't know, kind of metal.
It does.
Like corpse paints, but really nice suits.
So it's what you're describing already, Ben. It's the group of financial professionals and law professionals who all work to just, like, I don't know, to shepherd this barge of cash that is like generational wealth, and they're ferrying it down the river and just making sure nothing gets in its way. And then as they go along, they're constantly just throwing more piles of cash onto it. And somehow the piles of cash just generate more from nothing. They just grow. It's weird.
It reminds me of, this will be the only Always Sunny reference that I make in this show, but it reminds me of when Charlie Day asked Frank Reynolds' character what their business does. He's working as like the intern or mentee of Danny DeVito's character. And he says, Frank, like, what do we make, man? And Frank goes, make? What do you mean? What do we make? We make money. It's like, yeah, but like, what do we actually make? And it's a beautifully dystopian conversation that I think describes what you're talking about. Just doubling and compounding percentages and interest.
All the compound interest.
Right. He says, Collins, not Danny DeVito, that as of 2014, $7.6 trillion worth of private wealth has been hidden by this industry. It's not up for debate in tax returns because it doesn't show up. It has become invisible except when people need to benefit from it. He says he describes it as being in an ownership limbo, trust or partnerships or offshore tax havens. This isn't being measured, he says, in the current understanding of inequality, which is weird because I can't be the only one. This is like shades of the Panama Papers, right? Like that was just one group. And it took a team of experts to figure out how the shell games all match together.
And, you know, Collins also makes it clear that this is a long game by saying, quote, a lot of the hidden wealth activities take place in the second and third generations, meaning that people who are able to amass incredible amounts of wealth, usually the originating source of that wealth, let's say a patriarch, for example, of a multi-generational family, that person may be a little more closely monitored. But when it comes time to actually move that money around to their successors, they have a ton of tools at their disposal to start removing that money from the system completely. Things like trusts, offshore banking, which we've discussed, offshore corporations, shell companies, et cetera, things like that, secrecy jurisdictions, and too many more to go into here. One particularly, I don't know, kind of sketchy and popular technique these days is the family office, which is something that happens in families worth at least $250 million that bring their wealth defense folks entirely under their literal roof in-house. It's a power move for sure that is only available to that upper echelon of the wealthy.
Well, this is the thing we got to talk about. It has to do with that death tax, the estate tax, the money when it changes hands from matriarch or patriarch who, you know, officially controls a vast fortune, and then that person dies and their heirs, whoever they may be, inherit that wealth. We talked about how when it's in an account or it's in a series of stocks that are growing in the amount of money that they're worth, then, you know, that fund is growing, that the dollar amount associated with those stocks grows, and all of that is calculated. All of that is not taxed. It's just growing and growing and growing and growing. Then when that person dies and it gets transferred, the way taxes are levied on that amount of money is very different than how most people would be interacting with money if it's being transferred like that. Taxes are only levied on the amount of money that is gained, so the capital gains. And I forget some of the terminology here, Ben, but the interest in the stuff that is grown from that amount of money after it is transferred. So if you imagine that pile of money on that barge growing and growing and growing, then it gets transferred over to somebody else. There's no taxes levied on that transfer. Only taxes and fines and stuff that can be levied on that amount of money after, you know, the so-called death tax and stuff is on the amount of money that grows from that giant barge after the transfer. Rather than the wealth that was generated over decades and decades and decades of it just sitting in accounts and growing.
Exactly. Then, you know, on the other side, people, primarily the beneficiaries of this or people who subscribe to the propaganda made by those beneficiaries, their argument will be you are punishing the successful. You are stealing, right, from someone who just managed to earn this. You know, did they take advantage of loopholes in the system? Yes, but not in an illegal way. These family offices can be tremendously powerful. I'd like to shout out David DeJong, who we interviewed a while back. He had to go head to head with some family offices who would rather not have it be known that they're profiting from Nazi collaboration, even though they very much are. It's a good book. It's a good book. It's called Nazi Billionaires. He's not really being subtle about it. But this goes to something else. And the reason we're taking time to point out these differing perspectives is because we are building toward an overall point. This stuff we're talking about, these creative ways of moving and hiding money, they're not the only operation. Imagine, you know, if you play a video game where you can dual wield weapons, so you can say their left hand is doing this moving money, right? That's the offshore stuff. That's the shell companies. Those are the defensive moves. Their right hand holds a sword. Their right hand is where we would attribute the aggressive moves, the more aggro strategies. Things like using political influence in smaller states or communities to get more friendly laws, to strip regulations, to stop oversight, right? To make sure things stay boring for the public. And in particular, one great example is to tear apart the IRS. Look, we get it. No one loves the Internal Revenue Service. They're not gonna win favorite U.S. department contest anytime soon. I don't know who would, honestly. I don't know who would.
They're literally kind of like one of the shadowy villainous kind of organizations in Everything Everywhere All at Once. They're often demonized in that way. I'm sure there's some great people that work for the IRS, but they're this kind of like creepy, shadowy organization that everyone sort of looks at as like they're coming for me. You know, it's only a matter of time. And again, there's that fear quotient where it's like, ooh, if I don't tick that box right, then the IRS is going to get me. There's a certain boogeyman mentality around them.
Absolutely. And especially in Everything Everywhere All at Once, that mentality is coming from a very real place. We're about to see exactly why. So if you can increasingly cripple the IRS, then it becomes increasingly easier for you or the people you work for to keep these games running. And this is, by the way, 100% the reason the IRS is much more likely to audit you if you are a person listening to this show, or you if you are a small laundromat owner, right? They're auditing you because they know that you don't have a team of badass lawyers in your corner. You don't have accountants who can kind of like pull weird financial gymnastics the way Neo flies through the Matrix. It's just you. And you probably have to go to work. You have other stuff to do. So this means, like, the problem's compounded. It's probably not worth the IRS's time to hunt these big fish too often, right? Think of the money you'll lose fighting them in court. They want the small fry because the small fry is defenseless. And on paper, it looks like a win for the IRS when they discover small-time wrongdoing. And in the background, the Leviathans move. Unfettered. This is part of a larger thing called starving the beast.
Starving the beast.
That also is very metal. Yeah. So the album is called Starving the Beast by what is it?
Defense Industry. Yeah, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I love it. And the number. Oh, snap. The number of the starving beast. It is a strategy of cutting taxes and then leveraging the resulting deficits as a motivation to cut funding for government institutions. Some people who are into this technique or method believe that the ultimate goal is to move government functions to the private industry. But most often the goal is really just to reduce tax burdens for, ding, 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 the wealthy.
Man, why would I just don't understand, man. You're just making money because you've got money and it's just sitting there and you're just making money and you don't want to, like, I just don't get it.
But can't we pivot maybe just a slightly silver lining? There is, you know, there is a push from some corners of the government to tax the wealthy. You know, to, and I've actually, there was an NPR piece recently I heard where it was a bunch of wealthy people saying, yeah, tax me. I want you to tax me. I want to help. I am good. This money could go to help reduce the tax burden on the less fortunate. And I really appreciated that perspective. And I mean, there's an argument to be made that, that this makes a lot of sense. But why does it never fly, Ben? Why does it never fly?
Oh, because, again, it's back to the two-tone lobster idea. Those people do exist, but they're rare enough to be newsworthy, right? The majority of people who are just fine with this are not in the news. They're fundraisers. They're at political conferences. They're Marty Bird office.
And his family.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we, to be clear, we haven't met the majority of these people. We're not unnecessarily vilifying folks. We're talking about a system and a system that's broken. This is either pretty depressing or it's pretty inspiring, depending on your perspective, where you're coming from. But this is what we can all come together on a hot button issue that has a lot of propaganda, has a lot of tribalism and politics tied up into it by design, I would argue. The issue is not necessarily that the system is broken. Everybody agrees on that, except for very few. The issue instead is that the people who are quote unquote winning the game have also won the ability to change the rules of the game as they see fit. So imagine, to attempt a sports analogy, imagine that after winning X amounts of World Series, the Yankees get the legal right to change rules of baseball as they see fit. Maybe they get one per World Series. And as they rack up those World Series wins, they're able to change the laws at an increasing pace. And they become increasingly favorable to the Yankees and increasingly disadvantageous to any other team. That's kind of what's happening with the U.S. tax system. As oversimplified as it is to say, there's a conspiracy at play. Shadows of George Carlin, man. This is a depressing one.
We need a red and blue lobster superhero in real life who is invulnerable, invincible, if you will, who has the power to enforce good on the ultra wealthy in the Cayman Islands and other tax havens. Somehow.
Nice, yeah.
Using his, his claws, presumably.
Dual wielding, mm-hmm. both dual a shield wielding. And some kind of spiky bit.
Do you think is he a caster? You know, what kind of,
does he have like a magic crab claw cracker?
Yeah, he could shoot projectiles at you, and it's especially tough because like even on your horse, it's hard to avoid.
Mm-hmm. Especially when he drags that claw on the ground and then just swipes it up at you. You know, it's terrifying when he's coming at you, dude.
He runs at people sideways.
Yeah.
You know, one flop like this kind of.
Be afraid,
fingering.
The super rich. Be afraid.
And also, keep it with the lobster, shellfish, crab analogy. We're not saying this to. Again, unnecessarily vilify people we haven't met. We're just showing you.
Oh, I am.
There's evidence about how this system works. The rules are being changed. The feedback loops are there. If we'd love to hear your input on this, we'd love to hear what your idea of a solution is. If you believe a solution exists, we try to be easy to find online.
Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, @conspiracystuff. Instagram @conspiracystuffshow. Those are the ways you can find us on the internet, but there's other ways too.
In a world where you don't like social media, instead pick up your phone and call 1-833-STDWYTK. You're gonna hear a little music when you call in. Give yourself a cool nickname. You've got 3 minutes. Say whatever you'd like. Please include the statement you can or you cannot use my name and voice on the air. We would appreciate that very much. If you've got more to say than can fit in that 3-minute voicemail message, why not instead send us a good old-fashioned email? We are
conspiracy at iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Health Aid Kombucha.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.